To another fun-filled, exciting episode of Hacker Public Radio. Joining me tonight are Ahuka and Briar Brown. Briar's kind of busy in the house, so he'll be just listening along. So, Kevin, how's it going? How are you today?
Oh, just great. Couldn't be better.
Well, I'm very glad to hear that. And in fact, I'm very glad that you're on, because I have a very, very special task for you.
Ah, let me guess. You want me to read the new hosts?
Yeah, there's not a lot of point. I'm going to butcher the names sooner or later. But
okay. Well, the new hosts this month, which, and you know, we're very, very happy need to have new people joining us and vitality of Hacker Public Radio up there. So this month we're welcoming Stitch, Matt McGraw, Ian Neuer, Lane Deer, and Riley Gelwicks.
That is just awesome. And just as a by-the-by, we have this month hit our 200th host who has contributed. So 200 different people have contributed to Hacker Public Radio. That is phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. So, as we normally do, we're going to kick off with a rundown of shows from the previous month. So we, since we've moved to this, have no idea when we're going to post it out. We're just confining HPR community news to the shows that were released in the month that we were that's in discussion. So we dropped off last month at 1306, which was Freedom Follow-Up by Christopher M. Hobbs. And that was a pretty cool show. He apparently got quite a lot of feedback on his move to software freedom and has liberated himself. So that's all good news. His email address is stf.org, which is another site that I recently I've got a permanent subscription there, started using a little bit more often. The following day was 1307, What's in My Bag by Acipiter. Would that be right, Kevin?
Acipiter.
Go again?
Acipiter.
Yep, that'd be right. And this is one very organized bag, it has to be said. This month there were a lot of these because we were in desperate need of shows, but I think it's been a very interesting topic for me, because there hasn't been one of these where I thought, what are they talking about? And you Google it and you go, oh, I really absolutely must get one of these things.
I'm really enjoying it, but it did occur to me as I was listening out as a challenge to various hosts out there that they're all talking about what's in the bag. I'd like to know what's the best bag to get.
That's a good point, actually. I've done one of these that's in the backup queue as well. I find it a very difficult thing to buy a bag, because it's one of the things you need to kind of touch and feel, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. I'm looking for some ideas, because my guess is that a really good bag is not cheap.
Well,
I wouldn't want to spend a lot of money on a bag that I ended up not liking.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I have a Taurus bag now, or whatever you call it. Targus bag, yes.
Targus, yeah.
And prior to that, I had like a cheap 29-buck model from, the MediaMarkt, which is, I suppose, you know, Walmart or something equivalent. And I loved the other bag. It was just perfect. This one is horrible, falls over, just as uncomfortable. It's just not a cool bag at all.
Yeah, I think that whatever I'm looking for, probably one of the that it has
You're cutting out, Kevin. You're cutting out for me, at least.
All right, is that any better?
Yep, that's better.
Okay, I just moved the microphone closer to my... I'm thinking I'd like one that probably has a battery of some sort that I could recharge my devices.
Okay. Actually, this is a good topic. Yes, people should do this. Yeah. Send in recommendations.
Right. Do it for me, if for no other reason.
Remind
me.
No, not at all. Remind me at the end to add this to the list of requested topics. And if anyone else listening out there has a requested topic that you want to do, there's lots of people who would love to record a show and browse through the requested topics to see what show they can do. So yeah, feel free to add stuff to there. The following day was 1308, helping a new computer user, and this was brilliant. I printed this off. And I actually used it with my own kids because I just assumed it's been so long since I've done computer stuff, and I just assumed everybody knows all this stuff. And it was really refreshing to get somebody who has a itemized checklist, which you can get on the show notes, of exactly what to do to explain to somebody what how a computer works.
Right.
And the weekend after that, I had the kids go around with their camera and take photographs of, that on-off button, the one and the zero thing. Find
Right.
as many of them as they could in the house. So they had 20 or 30 different photos. I don't know what that says about our house, but
A lot of devices.
yeah, remote controls and that sort of thing. Mobile phones. It's on everything, even dishwashers and stuff like that. So it was pretty cool. The day after was a episode that myself and my wife did about human-assisted reproduction, which was a difficult.
Brilliant is what it was. You guys
Thank
did
you.
a great job. I couldn't turn it off for a moment.
Yeah, it was a difficult one to know whether to do. I tend not to like to put too much of myself on the internet, but I kind of blew that there. Anyway, enough about that.
Well, yeah, there's two things about that. I mean, maybe you don't like to put yourself out. Frankly, there are these people that I sort of interact with online in very limited ways. I don't mind learning more about them. That was one of the things. But the other thing is that this is an issue for a lot of people, and I think it's good that you have a discussion about what's involved.
Yeah, I think a lot of people assume that you can get pregnant one, two, three like that, and sometimes it's like that. Or I've noticed that one, we've always been very open about it with our friends and colleagues at
Yeah.
work, and I've noticed that just as soon as you start talking about it, people go, "Oh yeah, my sister has that, and ex-boyfriend of mine's brother has that." And yeah, anyway, it is. We had to record it twice actually, because the first night we got hit with the famous Zoom H2 have to press a twice button to record. So
That's too
that,
bad.
yeah, but we recorded it again and went on. The following day was a 1310 Energy Democracy Defined, which was by Bob Turgilius.
Fearless.
Thank you. And this show, This Week in Energy, I was not familiar with the show at all, and I have since subscribed. Very, very interesting show about energy and the generation of it. While we assume the only way to generate energy is through central systems, and that's probably not necessarily the case.
Yeah, I thought it was a fascinating episode. I have a real interest in
As do I.
what's going
So you're still cutting out, okay, sorry.
Right, I'm not sure what I can do at this point.
Okay, well, we'll continue on. Modern Inconveniences was Christopher M. Hobbs. And I also like this because we do quite a lot of this stuff as well ourselves, and have found the old traditional cleaning products and stuff to work just as well, if not better, than the items that we've purchased previously.
Yeah, I enjoyed that.
So then we had a long-awaited interview by DeepGeek with Bridges.
Yes, Birgitta John's daughter, and she is a one of the members of the Parliament of Iceland, representing the Pirate Party. And DeepGeek had a great interview with her, along with an interesting introduction from Epicanus. So the whole thing was actually very enjoyable.
Yes, I had listened to the interview already on DeepGeek's own feed, but Epicanus's
Yeah.
intro was very amusing, I must say. I don't know. What I find odd about this now is that the American government went to so much trouble to get this information on their tweets. Yeah, they could have just rang up the NSA and said, "Guys, we need these tweets."
Right.
Oh, How I Managed My Contact by John Culp. Yes, I've had this problem. And again, to go back to what we were saying last week, last month about calendaring being crap. And I know a few people have contacted me about that, and I'm doing a rebuttal episode for them to prove that calendaring is indeed crap. Short, slightly less crap than calendaring is contact management, but it ain't much better, that's for sure.
Right. The best I have right now is basically Google, and that leaves a lot to be desired, but it does at least allow me to have a cross-platform set of data that I can access anywhere.
Yeah, again, I will say, we're spending so much time on the really complex, things, and we still haven't got that this sorted, calendaring, sorted. And Frank Bell, our old regular, with impressions on
Magia.
Magia. Why can't I read that? Magia. I like this episode, I must say. I really did.
And I enjoyed it as well because it, way back, the first Linux distro that I used as a desktop, I mean, I had some interaction with Red Hat on a server, but my first desktop distro was Mandrake. And Magia is essentially down the road the open source fork of that.
I must say, he did. I like their approach. No desktop, no preference for desktops, and you have a go back in and fix option. I kind of like that. I'm not saying I'm going to try it or anything, but there you go. The next day, we had LibreOffice 09 writer looking into paragraph level styles. What do you reckon about this? No, I love the show. It's famous. Again, I'm loving this entire series, as you know, because I just sent you a paragraph style for some
That
font.
was the dyslexic font. You wanted to create a template for the Sonar project.
That's the one. That's what I wanted to do. Yeah, and I still need to correct that and send it back to you just for confirmation. And I also, going through my email, completely forgot to put in the links. You sent me a list of links, and I completely forgot to put them in. So keep bugging me to do that, please.
Right. Well, the website is always in the show notes. So the link just takes you to a specific page within the website, but it's not that hard.
Yeah, but it's still nice to have a, click link here.
So right now I'm getting a little edgy about, I got to get in and start creating some stuff again. So writing and recording will be happening soon. My plan is to do about, I don't know, four, five, six. I don't know how long it'll take to finish up what I want to do with Writer for now. I mean, I could do just the things on Writer for the next 3 years, probably, but I want to start getting into, I think the next one will be Calc.
Yeah,
And
I was kind of hoping you were going to say that, yeah.
yeah, because I got some things that I can talk about there that I think will be helpful. And we were talking about helping the new computer user, and that's one of the things that I think about when I'm doing this, is that I don't assume that people know anything about this. So I can start at a really introductory level and then just start building. And every time I do that, I discover that things that I thought were simple and obvious and everyone knew them, it turns out that there are people who just had never heard that before.
Well, today I just spent the best part of 5 or 10 minutes looking for how to insert a graph into a calc document. Can you believe that? Because it isn't in the menus anymore. You need to press the button on the toolbar. Or maybe I'm just going stupid. I don't know.
I will cover that. So graphing is definitely a part of
Excellent. The next day we had Mr. Gadgets phoning in what is my bag? And I had posted this as what's in my bag, and thankfully Dave Morris, our QAT, got in touch with me to correct it. I had no idea that this sort of stuff existed, but then again, I'm not familiar with the US customs. Seems interesting way of putting a bag together. And the following day, we had Curtis Adkins, CPromt, with What's in My Bags, which was very interesting from my point of view because he had a LAN throwing star tap, which is an awesome, awesome device, which I intend to purchase, allowing me to tap into server communications. I usually had a old 10 megabit hub or that sort of thing, but this would do it very, very well. And in addition, it turns out there are healthy people listening to Hacker Public Radio. The following day, we had Sons of Man 1 with a show on how he found Linux, going back to, it was kind of interesting. Came through SunSpark, into Unix, got into kind of Slackware, and then was at it from the point of view of networking and stuff. So, pretty cool. Then we had Frank Bell, who and we discussed last month about Frank gathering information for his presentation, and I felt his pain. He left the presentation on the printer, so he had to wing it and went back into the presentation. But he did a fantastic job. Gave far too much credit to myself, but he did a very, very good job presenting HBR, and really got across the ethos of what we're trying to do here.
And he gave me the idea that I'm going to do something similar at my lug in a couple of weeks.
You should record it.
Let me see if I can. I have to work out the technology, but yeah, it'd be worth doing, certainly.
It's called the Sansa clip, and you put it on your collar, shirt collar.
Good Lord, I've got several Sansa clips around here. Figure out how to do that then. It might be more than just HPR, but that's fine.
No, just we've had we used to have Dave Yates send in Southern California, South Carolina Linux.
South Carolina.
Yeah, that's a South Carolina Linux user group meetings, and they hold the record for the longest HPR show, 2.5 hours or something.
Okay.
And then we had a new host.
We had throwing new down host. The challenge.
Yeah, there you go. We had a new host, Jay Robb. Yeah. With how I got into Linux was 1320. And what's middle school?
Oh, middle school in the United States would be roughly grades 7, 8, and 9.
What's grades 7, 8, and 9?
Oh, let's
ages,
see.
Folks. Ages is international.
Ages.
Except for
all right. You're asking someone who doesn't have kids. So let me try and do some math in my head. Let's say ages 12 through 14, roughly.
Okay, so like secondary school, I guess.
Well, it sort of falls between primary and secondary. So primary, kindergarten through grade 6, so, you know, like ages 5 to 11 or something like that. Middle school, ages 12 to 14, and then high school, but, you know, 15 through 18, something like that.
So you go to a different school for 2 years for no apparent reason.
You know, it's not my business, so I'll say for a reason that I don't fully understand.
Gotcha. You foreigners, your funny foreign ways.
Not only that, but we don't use the metric system.
No! But thankfully, you've all converted to using ISO 8601 timestamps year, month, day. I'm so glad to hear that.
Actually, not many people do.
Yeah, we all should.
Not
many people do over here either, but yeah. Convince them. But yes, a very good show. Looking forward to hearing more.
Yep.
The following day, we had Christopher M. Hobbs with What's in My Bag. And did I just make a comment that I changed his SDF account? That was his second show this month, I think. Must have been.
Third.
Ooh.
Yeah. He did the Freedom follow up and the Modern Inconveniences.
True. And then we had yourself and myself taking over there with, as you do, talking about Ohio Linux Fest. How's that going? Give us an update. Although it'll be over by the time people hear this.
It'll be over by the time people hear it, yes, because it is next weekend. So everything is great. So I'm excited. I'll be heading down to Columbus Thursday afternoon and be there through Sunday.
Well, to everybody going to Ohio Linux Fest, I hate you all. I hate you all.
Yeah, we love you too.
Yeah, I'm not able to go to...
Just remember, I don't get to go to FOSDEM.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll be able to go to Potsdam either, but we will see. I haven't been to Potsdam. I plan to go twice, and both times fascinating.
Actually, Og Camp is coming up, and I won't get to that one either.
Yeah, and it turns out Dave the Snake Morris has told me, no, I won't be going, and then he ended up going down after all. But actually, it's amazing the amount of people. I should never go to any of these festivals. Facing the amount of people who have turned up to do a HGR booth now, there's about four or five different people going to be around. I don't think anybody walking into the building will be safe. There'll be a microphone shoved under their nose. Then the following day, we had community news, which leads to more shows, which were porting Mega Happy Sprite to Windows. Again, of course, one's developing code, one would, of course, use cross compilers to cross compile it so it'll run on Windows. Sometimes I think Sigflux is operating in a completely different league to where I am.
Oh, in my case, there's no doubt at all.
Yes.
I love listening to it, thinking, boy, what would it be like if I actually understood all of this?
I was actually thinking that's kind of cool because there are some things I do in work where, you know, I could compile them and, you know, I could get them onto Windows and save me all that hassle. It might actually be interesting. So that one, at least, I was thinking, yeah, cool, I might actually use that. And then paragraph styles in templates, very applicable for me again. So let's see what's on the roster for the coming month. We have scheduled currently, we have programming in languages 3 by Gar Jola, as C has been just released, which is a nice introduction to C. A Tale of Change Root by NY Bill. Jingles by Stitch, who's one of the organizers of OHN 2013, who let us set up our booth, sent in some jingles. An Introduction / How I Got Into Linux by Matt McGrath, Geek Dad. Open Source Mental Illness with an interview we did last month. After last month's show, Dave was saying, he mentioned that there was a chap doing open source mental illness talk around at some of the fests. So I just fired him off an email and we got a nice interview coming in. You're bringing up with some 1, 2, 3 LibreOffice things. We've got the Rosetta Dream by Julian Niveau. Overdrive by Sigflux, which will be episode 1337. Leet, Sigflux is Leet. How apt is that, folks?
There is no one who is more deserving.
I had just sent the discussion out on the mailing list that, you know, the last that episode was available because Stankdog mentioned, I see episode 1337 is available. And then as I checked, I had just sent send, and then I checked the logs on the server, on the VPS, to see whether there was new shows in, and she had just uploaded it with the next available slot, and that, of course, was 1337. So I personally think Fate has done a far better job of picking the most least person on HBR.
And the whole point of our new scheduling thing is that it's just whoever signs up, so...
Yeah, nobody can argue.
Right, just as well you didn't try and put your thumb on the scales.
I was wondering why NY Bill wanted this on. He had specifically put 1338. Most people just say next available slot, and I completely missed it. So I just put it. He asked me then to move it, or mentioned that it should be moved to 1338. So I did. Then it hit me. Oh yeah, he was leaving 1337 available. So that was cool.
Yep.
And Pump Pies, NY Bill, another episode. Legacy Technology, my Victrola. Victrola. I saw the photos for this. Obviously, as everybody knows or should know by now, I don't listen to the shows until they're released. It's a thing. And this one looks nice, actually. Then the next episode will be out and about at OHGM 2013. And I recorded a mad amount of interviews, which I completely forgot I had recorded because of the heat. So they'll be released there. We have Talk Deep to Me newscast coming back the following Monday. Power Tool Drag Racing, phoned in by Mr. Gadgets. Again, I don't listen to these, so I have no idea. He now sends links to show notes. So I put those in and then I generally edit the show notes afterwards. Too Clever for Your Own Good, Landeer. Help. Too Clever for Your Own Good by...
Lane Deer?
Or Lane Deer? Oh, yes, this is a nice episode. I like this one. The next day is a filming a dinosaur egg hatching, requested by Peter 64. And it's my son and myself. He actually, of course, speaks in the podcast. And then you. And then how to properly evangelize Linux, or why I use Linux as my daily driver by Riley.
Galwix.
Thank you. And Linux Jazz number 4 by Briar Man, who's making a welcome return. Then we have the last one so far is Melissa Duprest helps me with my audio compression by John Clayton. So that's what's in the queue.
It's a good cue, and I will also mention for people who are fans of Dan Washko's Linux in the Shell. I was talking to Dan the other day, and I think, like a lot of people, summer comes, and he's involved with family stuff. But he said he's going to get back and record some more shows.
I am absolutely very happy to hear that, and I didn't doubt it for a minute.
Yeah, I know that there's a lot of fans, and you and I are among them of Dan's series. They're going to be looking forward to that.
Yes, I am. And I actually refer an amazing amount of people to those episodes, you wouldn't believe. So I'll put some stats in the show notes. I mean, basically on the mailing list, we only really had two items, quite enough. Basically, everybody going to Omcamp except Ken, and I hate them all with equal amount. And they better give me some stickers or something. There was a discussion about HBR episodes with code is okay as far as the listening community is concerned. Because last month we had the question, Dave and I, about whether people were following along, I guess. And some people seem to like it, and it seems to be something that is possible to do on the airways. And if anyone needs a soundboard to discuss stuff with, Nido Media has offered himself as a soundboard platform. So I was asked by one of the listeners to HBR, or one of the contributors to HBR, to get some statistics on the amount of shows that we have released over the years. So I did a Python, a Perl script, as you do, and I was able to go through the log files. Now, it's very difficult to know what is going on with the log files because some IP addresses download several episodes of several of the same episodes in the one day, several episodes one day, then we'll download them again. So what I did was I said, we will normalize it down to any particular IP address downloading any particular episode in any particular day. That seems reasonable.
Yeah, I don't see why not. It's not like we're trying to sell this to advertisers.
No, not at all. And we would do impressions if we were, but anyway. So I put some stats in the show notes, and Joe, I also put in the Q status as it looks now, the graph. So we had the fall, and then after the summer, we had a nice build up. And now we're having a gradual fade down as well. And that tends to happen. And then what tends to happen is we after the summer period, like there's this big summer lull, then we get quite a lot of shows in. Nothing like this. We've never had 30, we had 34 shows in the queue this month. We've never had that before, ever. And it normally tapers off a little, tapers down, and then people, the autumn comes in, people have more time, or the fall, as you guys say, or the spring, as for Peter 64 living on the wrong side of the world. And people have more time to record shows and stuff, so I think we're over the worst of it. But it's interesting to be keeping track of this stuff. So that's in the show notes. So the summary of the stats as I can make them out, and there's a tar file, report.bz2. If you just want to download that in one tar, you get this raw information yourself, and you can do cool graphs. I would be impressed. So the project itself started 7 years, 6 months, 22 days ago. That's on the 10th of the 10th, 2005. So next month will be our 8 year anniversary. And we were named HPR on 2013-04-28. So we have a total of 1,685 shows. We have had 200 HPR hosts, And the next free slot is in 25 days. There are 13 shows in the queue, 13 hosts in the queue, and 22 shows in the queue. So that's quite healthy, I think. There were 86,109 downloads in August. So that's an average of 2,620 downloads. So if we work out back to the start of this project, that would be 7,567,791 individual hits, which I think is pretty impressive, really.
A couple of things. First of all, the line about when it was renamed HPR,
yep.
You might want to take a look at that year again, because I'm guessing that didn't happen in 2013.
You're quite right. Thank you.
But, you know, the other thing looking at that jumps out at me as someone who is a host and records these programs is I sometimes get the impression I'm like doing this for 20 people, because 20 people is about how many I interact with.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, actually, it's like 2,000.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people out there who like these shows, even though they may not write, they may not call, you know, they don't come on to the community news each month, but they like the shows.
Yeah, and what's interesting is the build up for a particular show. I put the stats in, you know, the number of downloads per day that we have. And it's about, and I right next to that on that particular day, the amount in total that show has had. So obviously,
yeah,
the newer show at the end of the month has a lot less hits than the one that's been released at the beginning of the month. So shows that have just been released get about, you know, 1,200-1,300 downloads straight away. But by the end of the month, they've got 2,000 downloads. Well, what's even more funny or interesting, I think, is that over any particular day, you see that there's almost double the downloads. People are downloading the regular show, but we have people downloading older shows, you know, shows from God knows when, going back to episode one, downloading. It's cool, pretty much. The longer your show goes up, they might hit 4,000 or 5,000 hits, you know?
Oh, exactly. And, you know, you would ask me to give you the URLs for the pages on my website that correspond to the shows. And while I was doing that, I was also putting on those pages, here's the link to the Hacker Public Radio episode. So someone will stumble across my website, say, oh, there's an audio that goes with this. And that might be 3 years from now, but they'll click on it and download it.
And that does happen. You see, occasionally I see spikes and I go, oh, we're being attacked or something. But somebody has just subscribed and has pulled down all the episodes and, you know, God love them, we won't see them for reasons because they're listening to the whole shows. But yeah, it's
a 1,000 episodes.
Yeah, but you know, put that into perspective. How many people do you expect to be at the Ohio Linux Fest this month?
800 to 1,000.
So like, somebody on their first day recording a show is speaking to every single participant and more that will be going to the Ohio Linux Fest.
Right.
Yeah. It's and then double that, and then you hit the amount of entire people who go to all the Linux Fests over the entire lifetime of your show.
Sure. That's
pretty cool.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I think it's wonderful.
I mean, we're probably not the biggest, you know, tech or whatever podcast out there, but a respectable audience, and it seems fairly constant. These aren't now RSS hits. These are actual downloads of the MP3 AUG and Speaks phone. So pretty cool.
Yeah.
So average daily download of 2,620 shows this month, based on this month.
Right.
Okay. Well, the last thing I wanted to mention was there was a request about how we, if you go to the host page, then there's some of the hosts have got pictures on there.
Right.
And I'm just clicking that now. And that's actually done via Gravatar. So if you've got, if your email address is registered at Gravatar, which are a fairly open company and they seem to be not, I think they're affiliated to WordPress in some way. So if you upload your avatar there, any of the websites that run the plugin can go to their site with a hash of, it's actually an MD5 hash of your email address. and then they will see if they've got that online and they'll put in the picture.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all very well. Two things about that is, number one is, from a privacy point of view, I'm not really happy with that, because it means every single time you go to that website, you're making a request to Gravatar directly, as opposed to pulling that image from HPR, which means theoretically you could be tracked. So what I want to do is run a script on a daily basis that will go out from HPR, gather all the images, and then have the images locally, and then serve them up locally. So that way, when you get the image, it'll come from HPR, and then they won't. Not for a moment saying that they are tracking you in any way, shape, or form, but that privacy concern will be eliminated. But then that got me thinking about the host page in general.
Right.
Currently, we have just the name of the host, the host ID, and the website and email address. And then, you know, the number of episodes they've done and that sort of thing. But we could probably do a little bit better there. I think, you know, Instant Messenger,
sure,
have the option to put their own photo up, a little bit of summary about themselves, you know, kind of little homepage if you like. One thing I definitely want to have in there is their email key. And if there was only somebody in the HPR community who would have an email show on how to set up GPG or something like that, I would seriously appreciate it.
Well, interestingly enough, I've been thinking about doing one. So
then, yeah, that would be
it, I will probably do it in the next few weeks.
To be honest, Tahuka, regardless of whether anyone beats you to it, feel free to do your show, and if somebody else does a show from a different point of view, it's all the better. The more shows we have on this, given
right,
the current climate for this, that, and the other monitoring that's going on, it's probably no harm. And I was also thinking that it might be a good way, if we had the people's public keys, we could then verify if the show or the comments or their updates were from that person. And then it would probably be possible for them to email then an update that is signed, and then we would know it is from them, and then that would allow them to edit the web page.
Yeah.
Send in an edit for the web page, as they would be a trusted individual, if you know what I mean.
Right.
Do you know where I'm going with this?
I'm getting a sense of it.
Well, the host page should be edited by the host, obviously.
Right.
But I don't want to be maintaining a whole database of yet another website where you keep your... You have to log in, and there's accounts, and there's passwords, and that just introduces a whole gold mess.
Right.
But if somebody if you, for example, have a key, a private key or a public key via this email, via GPG or whatever, then it should be possible to encrypt or sign a message saying this is definitely from you. I would be able to verify that this is from you, and then go, okay, well, if this is from you, I trust you, so therefore I will replace the text on your website with this website, or I will allow you in to edit just this piece of the website.
Okay, makes sense.
Okay, if anyone has any ideas about that, you can, of course, feel free to contact me.
Sure.
I don't have anything else, Kevin. I'll just want to wish you all the best of luck next week.
Well, thank you. I will come home exhausted on Sunday.
Yeah, and I look forward to hearing about it on the Linux Tech Show afterwards.
Possibly there, and I'll probably get on Linux for the rest of us as well with Door-to-Door Geek.
Excellent. Give him my best and say I still love him despite his attitude on security. He'll know what that means.
Okay.
I sent him in some feedback about his attitude to security. So he, in true right back at you, babe, fashion, he said, okay, but this wouldn't that be a great show to do on HPR? damn you, call it my own game. So yes, I have two more shows now to do this month. Okay,
yep.
With that,
that's great.
I'll talk to you later.
Sounds good, Ken.
Okay, tune in, folks, tomorrow for another exciting episode of
Hacker Public Radio.
Join us now and share the software. You'll be free. Okay, my wife's looking at me funny. Bye.
Bye.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All Binrev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Share Alike, 3.0 license.